Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Richard Bergeron.
It is the Tornado Tony Benicow.
And Psychic Tom Padgett with the crystal ball ready to go.
And some pretty nice weather we've been having in the East Coast over here, huh, Tony? Pretty damn decent.
It's been pretty good. I'm actually kind of looking forward to the fall now. You know, the I guess I'm still in the tank top. But you're still talking about the guy here that wears tank tops when you tell Christmas trees.
That's funny. And of course, you know, we wouldn't be human if we didn't take a moment to recognize all the poor people who lost their lives in Las Vegas, fight capital of the world there. It's a place I spent a couple of years of my life. And, of course, Tony and I both being country music fans. This just kind of sucks. This really sucks. It's worse not knowing what they... Go ahead, Tony.
I'm going to say to you guys something I read today. I didn't talk about this, only, but I consider going out there for that concert.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, because I listen to, you know, the local country station in Philadelphia, and, you know, when I didn't get the tickets for the fight, September 16th, and I'm driving to work the one day, and they're talking about this three-day festival, I said, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to do that. And I, as quick as it went in my head, as quick as it went out, and then I never pursued it, obviously, and, you know, maybe it was the luck on my part.
Wow. And, of course, you know, the big discussion now is the stocks. I guess there's a stock that you can buy for these guns that makes it perform like an automatic weapon. And what made me think of is there was a Law and Order episode about a guy who did a shooting in Central Park, and he got a conversion kit online. And on Law and Order, they sued the gun manufacturer and won. Well, they prosecuted him, actually. So it's like, man, they saw that kind of problem coming that many years ago in the 90s when that episode aired. So I don't understand why they're still dealing with it. Sometimes this freedom is a problem when you can get your hands on that many freaking weapons. Unreal. I haven't heard of anybody I knew of out there who was involved or was there, but I really haven't talked to anybody really too much that I've had a direct connection with out there either. So hopefully everybody's all right. Just nuts. Unbelievable. And of course, it had to happen on my birthday. So now everybody's going to remember my birthday for a different reason. That sucks.
Friend Steph, she's 2 days older than me. Birthday sucked, but you're worse. Your 25th birthday was Steve. 2011. She's 2 days older than me. So, Matt, you know what her 25th birthday was.
Alright. So, of course, this weekend we have UFC 216 to talk about. Ferguson versus Lee. We got a big shakeup on the boxing scene. Andre Ward, first of all, retired. That's a big one. Just out of the blue, decided, hey, I'm all done. I've done enough. I really can't see anything else. I don't have any motivation to do it and train and all that. So, I'm out. It's pretty peculiar. Out of the blue retirement announcement.
You know what, the third time.
Yeah, I guess he didn't want a third match with Kovalev. We also have the heavyweight fight. Luis Ortiz out. not fighting Deontay Wilder anymore. It's going to be Bermain Stiverne. Pretty interesting matchup there. The former champ is going to step in on that fight. So another boxing shakeup.
I mean, when that fight, former champion Wilder first fought him for the title, some people thinking Wilder had not won six rounds, and this is going to give okay, Stiverne's going to wear down. No, I was just saying. I said, you know, this is who Wilder won the title from back a few years ago. And at the time, Wilder hadn't gone past five or six rounds, maybe. And they were thinking Stiverne would wear him down and just capitalize on the fate. But it was Wilder that wore Stiverne down. Stiverne was looking at it again.
All right. Bear with me here. I'm trying to use two computers at once. Just going over the boxing schedule, seeing if anything's popping out at me.
Guys, on ESPN, they're having a 30-30 on Tommy Morrison. Either one of you guys got that?
I was going to ask you about that last week when we were having a technical difficulty, because I had a chance to watch that Wednesday night, and I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, does that bring back memories of that Michael Bent fight? Well, Morrison got the round of the knockout right. He just had the wrong guy going down. And the fact that he was, if these reports are true, that he was drinking the night before the fight?
Yeah.
Really? I knew he was a wild man, but I just didn't know how bad it was.
You know what? And I had heard some stories, too. I was in college. He first was diagnosed with HIV as a sophomore. And I remember our coach, Dr. Thomas, that Dr. Cox was in Philadelphia when they were there filming Rocky V. And he says he remembers seeing Tommy come out of a hotel with, like, five different girls. And they said, like, yeah, I mean, he was just a classic womanizer. There was a guy who just loved the part. And he just said, okay, yeah, I'm going to be training, I'm going to be doing whatever, they're calling him, pick him up at the bar, he's drunk again. And I remember the Michael Bent fight, it was like...
And then apparently Morrison would not train unless he had a fight.
Yep, I remember him saying that.
I'm just watching this, and it's like, you know, boxing is not the kind of activity to hang out in if you don't have self-discipline. I mean, it's not like it's a seasonal sport. You're in shape all the time. That phone could ring at any time. Come on. You never want to get that far out of shape. Unbelievable that he had the success that he did, all things considered.
Yeah, hell of a guy. We've actually put a bunch of stuff out on his sons over the years that are following in his footsteps on Fight News Unlimited. Actually, our boy Matt Yanofsky. Say it again, Tony?
I said, boy, did his sons look just like him.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of sons, here's a transition for you. Over in Germany, Chris Eubank Jr. is in action, 25-1. A big fight this weekend. He's fighting Avni Yildirim, who is 16-0, and already some fireworks at the pre-fight press conference. I got this in a boxing alert the other day that somebody from one of the teams at the press conference said something about fucking the other guy's wife in his bed. Oh, yeah, it was bad. There was some things said at the... And I guess it was just, like, guys loosely connected to the fighters. And the fighters actually have a lot of respect for each other. So it's just kind of weird. But, yeah, there's video circulating. We also have a super middleweight bout on that card. That's another super middleweight one, I should say. Stefan Hartel, 14-0, versus Viktor Polyakov, who's 13-1. We also have Firat Arslan at cruiserweight. Has 40 wins, 8 losses, 2 draws. Fighting Mauricio Barragan, who is 16-2. That's a big one. And another guy on the card, super lightweight Timo Schwarzkopf, 17-1, fighting Massimiliano Balassai, who's got 20 wins, 4 losses. Oh, geez, I guess we got the mismatch of the week here as well in Germany, in Berlin. Cruiserweights, Rene Huebner, he is 44-19-2, fighting a guy named Robert Mueller. Is that the same FBI agent that's managing the thing?
Oh, I'd love it.
His record is 3-11, Robert Mueller, poor guy. He's going up
Mueller, against a guy with four he's kind of old to be still fighting. I wonder what kind of athletic commission's got him licensed, you know? He's got to be pushing my age.
Yeah,
wow.
It's got to be fixed. That's a funny one. I thought it was pretty funny at the fair. They had the Freiburg Fair up here in Maine. They had a booth with Trump's sitting on a bench. And then off to the corner, and the scene in front of the booth was a little statue with Kim Jong Il's face on it.
That's the fight we need to make. Yeah. That's what that would be pay per view, unbelievable.
That would blow any pay per view numbers out of the water.
Yeah,
that would even be better than Trump-Biden. I mean, I thought Trump-Biden would be the dream fight, but this would be better. Just seeing Dear Leader in Speedos. That's a fight.
All right, of course, we got a Jesus Fight of the Week in Mexico. Main events, lightweights, Christian Mijares, 57-8-2, fighting Jesus Arevalo, who's 25-1-1. Another decent fight on that card at lightweight. Joseph Aguiar, who is 17-0, fighting Juan Jose Martinez, 26-4 there. Sorry, we don't have knockouts right in front of us. But another one in Yucatan on Saturday. Manuel Ceballos, 13-1, fighting Rolando Paredes, who is 13-5-2. We got middleweights Elias Espadas, 15-3, fighting Jose Luis Zuniga, who's 14-2. By the way, that's light heavyweight in the main event, 13-1 Ceballos versus 13-5-2 Paredes. That's for the WBO Latino light heavyweight title, and the WBO Latino middleweight title is on the line between Espadas and Zuniga. And then we got Zach Dunn at super middleweight. He's 23-1, fighting Luis Eduardo Paz, who's 12-3. I don't think he's any relation to Vinny. He spells it the same. How about the vacant Republic of Poland international welterweight title? That's going on in Poland Saturday. Thomas Mazur, 7-1, fighting Sierhei Huliakowicz, who is 43-8. Big one over in the UK this weekend. Lightweights Anthony Crolla and Ricky Burns going at it. Crolla 31-6-3. Ricky is 41-6-1. Co-main event there is Sam Eggington, 21-3, fighting Mohamed Mamoun, who is 18-2. That's for the EBU welterweight title. And then we got Robbie Barrett, 15-2-1 at lightweight, fighting Lewis Ritson, who's undefeated at 12-0 for the BBB of C British lightweight title. Another one over in London. Andrew Selby at flyweight, 9-0, fighting Maximino Flores, who's 23-3-1. And then somebody's always got to go in the co-main event for the vacant Commonwealth British Empire Cruiserweight title. Robin Dupre, 12-0, versus Luke Watkins, who's 11-0. Another one over in the United Kingdom worth mentioning just for the losers on the card. We got CJ Challenger. How about that for a boxing name? 4-0 at super welterweight, fighting William Warburton. He's got a record of 24 wins, 123 losses, and 9 draws.
Oh, boy.
Then you got a normal name, Jack Rafferty, at super lightweight, making his pro debut against a guy named Kevin McCauley, who has a lucky 13 wins, 153 losses, and 11 draws.
You really have to wonder why those guys would keep going like that. 153 losses.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be a story for Ring Magazine. I mean, I know we beat this topic up, but, yeah, that would be some interesting interviews. It's like, you need the money that bad?
Right.
Wow. Well, how much money could they be making?
If it's four rounders, I mean, and the pro debuts, like a lot of them fight, it's quick work, so... good money if you can get it, I guess.
Well, it's not like it's easy money. And easy hasn't been in there. Jesus.
Depends on how bad you get beat up, I guess. Alright, so that's about it for the big boxing matches. And of course, like I said, we got UFC 216 coming up. Ferguson versus Lee. And they've also plugged in Demetrius Johnson versus Ray Borg in this one. And Demetrius actually was asked the other day, I noticed, what's going to happen if Ray Borg pulls out of this one. And he's basically said that, yeah, he's moving on because he won't even fight again this year. And he's already done a training camp and a half, he said, for this guy. So if the guy pulls out this time, pretty much forget about your title shot. And then Tony Ferguson fighting Kevin Lee for the interim title, which may be the permanent title, because who knows when Conor McGregor's coming back to the lightweight division. But Tony comes in at 22-3, Kevin comes in at 16-2. Of course, Lee's coming off a very controversial win over Michael Chiesa, who was a jiu-jitsu expert and was apparently not tapping and not close to passing out when Kevin got him caught in a submission in their last bout. And he wanted the rematch, of course, but they didn't overturn it or anything. It is what it is. And now Kevin's getting this shot against Ferguson, and Ferguson hasn't fought in a while because of his problem with Khabib Nurmagomedov in their last fight that was supposed to be. It didn't happen, so it's gonna be an interesting one. It's kind of tough to call either way. I mean, I like Ferguson's style and his striking, but I really like Lee's overall game. So I'd kind of favor Lee, but you never know. You never know which way this one's going to go. What do you think?
Okay, I will respectfully disagree. I think Tony's just going to really be ready. And what a grudge fight this is. I'll say this much. Lee is good at attracting attention. That's for sure.
Oh, we lost Tony. Yeah, Tony Ferguson, too, almost got in a fist fight with Fabricio Verdum at a press event. I don't know if you've seen it, but...
I moved, Tony!
Yeah, it was...
I did. And Verdum had to remind him, we have weight divisions for a reason.
Yeah. And I don't know my Brazilian, but the word maricun was being thrown around a lot. I think I know that means something derogatory. Anyway, that was crazy.
Yeah, I got pretty ugly.
And we also have Demetrius Johnson versus Ray Borg. I really don't think this is going to be a surprise. I think Ray Borg's good, but he's not that good. Demetrius is going to handle him pretty well. He's going for a finish. He did say that, too, as well, on his last interview. So he really wants to finish this guy. And, you know, he's trying to make a statement and see where it takes him. So it's kind of a no-brainer on that one. Tough to bet against Demetrius. And we've also got on this card Fabricio Verdum, 21-7, with one draw, fighting Derek Lewis, who is 18-5. Of course, Lewis coming off the big demolition job done by Mark Hunt. And we'll see if he can come back after some of those vicious leg kicks led to that brutal knockout there. And we also have Evan Dunham.
This will be fascinating. Have to see what's left of Verdum, too, you know. It'll be very interesting for him. I think a loss for Verdum would be devastating.
Yeah, I don't know if he's probably not one of those people they would cut over that, but definitely something to think about if he does lose that one.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, if he wants another shot at Stipe, I mean, this is almost must win for him, in my opinion. Like I said, he's not going to be cut because the division's still kind of thin, but this is really going to be a come down. And of course, Lewis is back against the wall too. Two losses in a row won't do him any good either, so should be interesting. I'm going with Verdum, but you never know. They are heavyweights.
Yeah, I like Verdum myself. I think Derek Lewis is an unproven commodity, and Hunt exposed his worst weaknesses, so if he doesn't fix all that, it's going to be trouble for him. Then we've got Evan Dunham, 18-6, facing Benil Dariush, who's 14-3. Tom Duquesnoy, who is 15-1, fighting Cody Stammen, who is 14-1. And then Will Brooks is in action, Bellator guy, coming over to UFC. He is 18-3, fighting Nick Lentz, who's 27-8-2. Bobby Green, also on the card, 23-8 is his record, fighting Lando Venata, who is 9-2. We got female fight, Pearl Gonzalez, 6-2, fighting Pollyanna Botello, who is 5-1. And in the preliminary first four fights, we got Walt Harris, 10-5, fighting Mark Godbeer, who's 12-3. Magomed Bibulatov, 14-0, fighting John Moraga, who's 17-6. Brad Tavares, 15-4, fighting Talies Laitis, who is 27-7. And first fight of the night, Matt Schnell, who is 9-4, fighting Marco Beltran, who is 8-5. Also might have a Bellator card tomorrow night, if I remember correctly. Bellator, let's see what we got. October 6th, yep. Eduardo Dantas looks like versus Darian Caldwell. Eduardo 20-4 is his record. This one's going to be from Thackerville, Oklahoma. Bellator 184. Darian Caldwell comes in at 10-1. And Dantas is the champion here, so it should be a 5-rounder. We've also got Emmanuel Sanchez, 15-3, against Daniel Strauss, 24-7. Pat Curran, 22-7, fighting John Teixeira de Conciego, who is 21-2-2. Joe Tamanglo, 23-7, versus Leandro Higo, who is 17-3. Manuel Muro, 1-0, versus Emmanuel Rivera, who's 6-1. And we'll go through the whole damn list here. We've got one undefeated fighter pairing. Steve Cazola, 8-0, fighting Carrington Banks, who's 6-0 there. That should be a good one. And in a few minutes here, we should be connecting with our guest tonight. We've got a very special guest, Angel Manfredi, who is 43-8-1. This is a pro record. Retired now from professional boxing. And we'll have to ask him about this because he's got his alias listed as GotJesus/El Diablo. So, I don't know how those two mix, but we'll find out. Resides here, it says, in Hobart, Indiana, from Gary, Indiana. last fought April of 2004. Started out in 1993 with a loss to Charles McClellan, 4-2. But a pretty incredible record, fought a lot of big names. Courtney Burton, Paul Spadafora, Diego Corrales were some of his toughest losses there. He also beat Julio Diaz when he was undefeated at 23-0.
Got a big win over Turgotti. Look at that.
Big win over Turgotti. So, plenty to talk about, I'm sure. Floyd Mayweather Jr. Was 18-0 going into their fight.
Yep.
Back in 98, December 98. You got TKO there. That was something that, a fight that ended a really long win streak for him. Including the Arturo Gatti win. Wilson Rodriguez was on that list. Wins a unanimous decision win over Wilson when he was 45-9-3. It's a big one.
What about Ivan Robinson in that too?
Calvin Grove, 48-7 at the time. Yep, lots of tough competition. So we'll have plenty to talk about for sure. Tom the Cat might even have a question.